It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Yeah. Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
I hate him. He's cuckoo for copocuffs.
Hello there, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. If you have a question, the show is available as a podcast.
Did you forget the order of the stuff that you normally say?
Shut up. And it's also available on iTunes. We also have a blog, which you can read at...
Filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Jerk face.
Yep.
No, that's not part of it, but... Sporting the goggles and the sweatband.
That's right.
Because the NBA is not a fashion show.
Stall out a ball out.
That's on his business card. Tyler Hansborough's biggest fan, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
And sitting in with me is author Diane Friedman. Author of A Matter of Life and Death, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the book and the movie that goes with it. It's happening next Friday at the IMA. And sitting in studio for the first time in quite a while, we know you know her, you love her, Film Sociology's kid film correspondent, Emma Sozi. Hi, Emma.
Hi.
As you can tell, folks, she's raring to go. Up and at him. In fact, do we have Gina's intro too?
Oh my gosh.
It's at the bottom of the screen, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soft kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. Happy kitty, sleepy kitty, purr, purr, purr.
With her eyes covering her head now. Her eyes are covered by her face. Out of complete embarrassment. That's right. I did it. So
that's what you get when your dad's a host of the show.
That's right. But Gina was very appreciative. She loves her new intro.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
I know. You told me.
Yeah, okay. Wow, we're just going to keep moving now, shall we? All right, there's a couple films opening in theaters this week. There's Contraband, the new Mark Wahlberg action film. What's so funny?
And there's Contraband.
And there's Contraband. I thought I acknowledged that was a film. It is, technically. I have not seen it, so I'm going to move on. But there were two films. As I've said before, this is the era, the time of the year, where critics are torn because we're still talking about potential Oscar contenders that are now just opening in other cities because they had to open in New York, Chicago, and L.A. before the end of the year to be considered for awards. And those, because we're Indianapolis, that will trickle down as time goes on. These two films are an example of that that we're going to talk about. And then, you know, there's films that, well, most of the time they're released in January for a reason. But we're not going to talk about those. We're going to talk about two films that are opening that are getting pretty good responses. The big one, which actually, by the way, you will hear a review of this film after this show on Fresh Air. So, you know, you get two opinions on this film. But it's the film called The Iron Lady. And this is the latest film starring Meryl Streep, one of Emma's favorites. Try it again, dear.
Woo!
we got that, right?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yes,
Emma, you're part of the soundbite brigade now. Mm-hmm. But this is, of course, the biopic on Meryl Streep as Margaret Thatcher, everyone's favorite English prime minister.
And we've been seeing previews for this for a couple months now.
So we're and now America, the mall crowd. Okay, I don't think this is going to play in a mall, but
it'll play in one mall.
It will play in, but that's a high-end mall.
That is a high-end mall.
They don't like you wearing ripped clothes in the high-end mall. But it is at the place where, you know, you get real butter and there's a bar. That's always
That's really cool. I took advantage of that for the first time last weekend.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Kobe Slagle, the man who single-handedly pulled Hollywood out of
I saved the arts last year.
No, you pulled Hollywood out of financial ruin by the 20-some-odd films that you saw last year, 30 films maybe.
Yeah.
And you've been to the Northside Theater on how many occasions?
It's a regular place.
But you've never partaked in the bar.
No.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I always have intentions of doing it, but I don't know. When you get there, you get your tickets, you want to get in, sit down, so I don't know.
Wow. What I do when I get in? I get my tickets or I get my pass.
And then you go to the bar?
I get the popcorn and I go straight to the bar. You're darn straight on that. And you're George straight on that.
Why would you eat popcorn at a bar?
Why wouldn't you eat popcorn at a bar?
Emma.
Are we going to talk about bar snacks to the child? Is that what the show has become now? See, Kobe wants to do movie snack segment every week. I don't know
about it. We're going to make it in some, not weekly, but maybe monthly.
Oh, I see. Monthly.
Yeah.
We'll keep up to date on.
I'll have cool intro music and stuff. And
You see, this is you just doing this just so you can work in the studio.
Yeah.
So, Emma.
That's my thing. That's what I do.
It is your thing. What you do. At a tavern or a drinking establishment, salty snacks means you buy more drinks.
Popcorn, peanuts.
Although if you watch Contagion,
chips and salsa,
you'll never want bar peanuts ever again. But that's another story. Contagion came out on DVD last week. Yes, the salty snacks are always good for that. And if it has real butter, not the oil that the multiplexes inflict on you, that's even better.
I wonder how well that works with Gina's different flavored.
We would do a recap of what Gina said, but we only have an hour.
It didn't take that long.
It felt it. And we love Gina and Dan. So anyway, you could watch The Iron Lady and get a Newcastle Brown.
Or a Sun King.
Oh, he's so good. Because it's local and we're a local show.
Yeah.
And I was doing the.
See that?
Because it's English and it's an English beer.
Yeah.
But you did one step further and better and went local. So, all right. I think now we should play the trailer.
Yeah. Does anybody want to hear about the Iron Lady?
Yes!
Because here it is.
I will never be one of those women who stay silent on the arm of her husband. One's life must matter, Dennis.
That's why I want to marry you, my dear.
Mrs. Thatcher, one simply has to make you look and sound like the leader that you could be.
No matter how I've tried, I know I will never be truly one of them. Someone must say the unsayable.
Methinks the lady doth screech too much!
If you want to change this party, lead it.
Watch your thoughts, for they become words.
If you want to change the country, lead it.
Watch your words, for they become actions.
This is it. Steady the buffs, old girl.
Watch your actions, for they become your character.
Prime Minister.
Shoulders back, tummies in.
And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny.
And it is my duty.
Ambition that's got me this. Our ambition. And the rest of us, me, the children, we can all go to hell.
The Falkland Islands belong to Britain. And I want them back.
With all due respect, when one has been to war.
With all due respect, sir, I have done battle every single day of my life.
She heads the most hated government this country has known.
This is the best you can do. I had better do your job as well as everyone else's.
Best be careful not to test one's colleagues' loyalty too far.
Our party and our country need a new leader.
The rules make it possible to depose a sitting prime minister.
We're in the town now. Just won't win, darling.
Your problem is that you haven't got the courage for this fight. Gentlemen, shall we join the ladies?
Sorry about the delay, folks. We'll fix that in editing. Okay. Wow. Meryl Streep is Margaret Thatcher, woman of many voices, as we all know, over the years. And what's interesting about the film, it's funny, when you first hear her as Thatcher, there's little elements of Julia Child to her, just a little bit. And this is one of those films where the performance, the lead performance, I think, overshadows the film as a whole. This is a biopic, and therefore I get to use my buddy Laura Jansen's phrase, who she told me once brilliantly, I don't like biopics because they're movies about people. And what she meant by that was the biopic format, Rise, Fall, Rise Again. And in this one, it is split down into two stories. We have old Margaret Thatcher, and then we have her as a young person going rise to power. And then we get to see, as a young teenager, and then we could see her as Meryl Streep, young Thatcher as Meryl Streep and old Thatcher as Meryl Streep. And during her reign, obviously in the 80s. So it does follow that format. I mean, it's the biopic format, and some elements are better than others. When she's in office, it's kind of the last third of the film was particularly distracting for me because it turns into a not quite Oliver Stone's Nixon. It doesn't quite get where you know all of the elements and all the theatricalities that dulls your senses that Stone's films used to do, like JFK and Nixon and Natural Born Killers, not quite that bad. Some of the more, for me, it's when Streep is able to bounce off of Jim Broadbent, who plays her husband. And I know in England, the film's gotten quite a bit of flack because of the older sequences and treating Thatcher as a kind of a doddering old woman who's suffering from early stages of dementia and Alzheimer's. She's hallucinating at times, thinking she's still prime minister and that her dead husband is speaking to her. But the chemistry that Broadbent and Streep have together are really fun to watch. And when we see her in office, of course, you know, this is old boys club, and the fact that Thatcher kind of breaks that, Emma's making a girl a face because you, kids film correspondent Emma Sosa, you got to see the last half of this because I was watching it for the second time last night, and you liked it for its girl power, correct?
Yeah, and well, I saw a little bit of the middle before.
Well, I mean, you saw the second. Yeah, that's true. But that was about a month ago. So, from what you saw, what did you like about it?
I liked a lot that how you were saying that it's sort of pointing out that girls can do what boys do most of the time, and that just because you're a girl, it doesn't mean that you don't have enough power to make a difference, mm-hmm. And I like that it's showing stages of her life, and that effects on how you feel about her later on in the story.
Mm-hmm. And this is a film, I don't think, especially folks from England, and Diane, you told me that apparently there are people listening online at WFYI.org from England. I'll do my best. Emma, would you like some water?
I'm fine.
Okay. I don't think this film is going to change anybody's opinion about Thatcher and what she did for England. Obviously, there are the obvious comparisons to her and Reagan, and or as some snarky folks like to say, the 80s when the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. There is a big turning point where, and of course, it involves Thatcher and the invasion of the Falkland Islands, a location you have to say slowly. Don't want to rush that. And kind of brought the country back after, you know, massive garbage strikes and punk music of the 70s. And because, as you know, punk music is the threat to all mankind as we know it. Do you remember when the Sex Pistols were threatening? No, you don't, Kobe. You know nothing about that.
What are you laughing at, Emma?
Yeah, what are you weren't there either. Diane and I would just sit on the stoop and talk about the old days. But anyway, it's not going to change anybody's mind. I think, like I said, it doesn't turn into an Oliver Stone film the last 30 minutes, but there is a kind of a quick montage to the end of her reign as prime minister and some of the pressure that she had to deal with, the protesters, people banging on the cars, things like that. But I think this is one of those, if anything else, you'll enjoy it for the performances, especially from Streep and Broadbent. And the other thing was watching Jim Broadbent in this film reminded me of the film he did that won him a supporting actor Oscar, the film Iris with Judi Dench. And that is a similar format where, and in this one, she is a very powerful woman suffering from dementia. And you get to see the husband taking care of the wife, but you also get to see flashbacks of the young couple that was played by Kate Winslet. And I wish I could remember the young actor that played young Jim Broadbent, but he was quite fabulous in that. That's an article I got to work on, is there are biopics that people have won awards for, and I believe, as I've seen in the acceptance speeches, they do acknowledge the actors playing the younger versions of them. And I think of, case in point, Daniel Day-Lewis in My Left Foot with a young Christy Brown. So I'm going to work on, that's my project. That's my Oscar project this year, is to find out those actors. So there. Academia here at Film Sociology.
Well, there's young Snape.
Yes, there is young Snape. Add that to the list. So anyway, Okay. Go check this out. This is what I feel about The Iron Lady.
Now that was a good movie.
Okay, speaking of kids, and we talk about apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Tree doesn't fall far from the apple. But the latest film from Roman Polanski is called Carnage, and it stars, oh boy, you have Jodie Foster, John C. Reilly, Kate Winslet, and Christoph Waltz as two sets of parents that have to talk to each other after there was a fight between their two sons on the schoolyard.
Following a verbal dispute in Brooklyn Bridge Park, Zachary Cowan, armed with a stick, struck our son, Ethan Longstreet, in the face.
Armed?
You don't like armed? Michael, what can we say? Carrying, holding, carrying a stick, all right?
Carrying, yeah.
Carrying a stick.
If Ethan had broken two of Zachary's teeth, I'm thinking Alan and I might have had more of a knee-jerk reaction. I'm not sure we would see the big picture.
Sure you would.
She's not telling you the real secret.
Let him taste it.
Very good. Mm. Excuse me.
Yeah?
Undesirable side effects. Basically, you look like you're drunk.
Do you know what they were arguing about?
Ethan wouldn't let Zachary be a part of his gang.
Did you know that Ethan had a gang?
No. But I'm thrilled to hear it.
Yeah.
Your son is a maniac. Zachary is not a maniac.
Yes, he is.
Alan, why are you saying that?
He's a maniac.
Well, can you hear me now?
You better watch it.
They're both horrible.
What the hell are we doing here?
I hope you're kidding.
You think my son is a snitch?
I don't think anything.
Well, if you don't think anything, don't say anything.
I'm sick to death of it. We were nice to you. We bought tulips. You know, my wife dressed me up as a liberal.
Yeah. Nancy, what are you?
There.
Ha! Oh, my God.
Way to go! You killed that hamster. What you did to that hamster was wrong. You can't deny it.
You're blowing this all out of proportion!
I don't get drunk. I feel like I'm going to vomit again.
Huge turnoff.
Get a couple of drinks that are... Bam!
Now, there's a quartet for you. You have Academy Award nominee John C. Reilly and Oscar winners Jodie Foster, Kate Winslet, and Christoph Waltz. And it's a four-person show, basically. This is based on the Tony Award-winning play, which IRT is actually doing next month. So I'm really intrigued on how this will be on stage. Now, the screenplay is co-written by Polanski and the actual playwright. It's based on a French play that was later translated in English. So it's the original French playwright and Polanski doing the screenplay. And one of the things that happens quite often with a film like this is the tendency for the director to open the play up. Especially if it's a play that's set in one room, one apartment, which this one is. This film does not do that. The opening credits, you see the incident, and then everything else is pretty much in the apartment of Foster and Riley as they meet with the parents. Say what you will about Roman. I'm not going to get into Roman Polanski's antics. That's been gone over ad nauseum. You know, although it's good to see that he's still putting out quality work. Last year's The Ghost Rider, which was a lot of fun, and this one, you have four very solid actors doing. Of course, here's a big shocker that the grown-ups start acting like children, drunk, nasty, ugly children, but children nonetheless. It's very, very well written, very well acted. I guess I was kind of taken aback as to how ugly the last 10, 15 minutes get. And this is a quick thing. By the way, there was a fun mistake in the paper today. The film, if you read the Indianapolis Star, there's a little box that says the title and the running time. Running time, it says 120 minutes, which is 2 hours. But in the review, it talks about it's 80 minutes. It's actually, because I checked on the DVD timer, 79. I mean, it's a quick, and thank goodness that this thing wasn't drawn out for 2 hours. It's just enough of an adrenaline rush for almost 80 minutes that I don't think anybody could take much more. There's already been comparisons to Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, I think, because it's a four-person show and things get really nasty. I don't think it's as good as Virginia Woolf, but it's still a pretty good quartet. But you're going to come, like Virginia Woolf, you're going to come out of the theater feeling drained and really unpleasant. And my wife and I have talked about films like this before where in her case, like we talked about, she's not a big gangster film fan. I've tried showing her Goodfellas and Pulp Fiction, and it's kind of and Find Me Guilty, and it's all, well, so what? You know, there's nobody there to care for, and it's going to be really hard to care for these people as the film goes on. But it's really, really well acted. Kids film correspondent, who's coughing? You had your hand up.
Yes.
What?
I
can't show this to you. You're not ready for it yet.
Oh.
Is that what you were going to ask?
Well, no,
seriously?
Not just that, but I would think, even though you're saying that kids aren't there, I would think it would be very interesting if the kids were there, because then they would probably be freaking out like, okay, what is going on?
Okay, they're boys, so maybe they do sound like that before their voices break. That would kind of be like seeing the boy in Doubt. Actually, you do see the boy in the film version of Doubt, not the play. Different play, different movie, another time. But I hear you, sweetheart. But it's the play nor the film are written that way. I find it interesting that you do see the incident in the beginning that leads to this. Now, and as it turns out, it really doesn't have any value as to the outcome by the end of the story. But I think that's just a little filmmaker's choice of showing, a park in New York, even though it's shot in Paris, because, well, Polanski can't come to New York. Not going to happen.
Yeah, I find that interesting, and I would I think it's a good idea, though, to be showing the incident, because it just gives you a clue more about what happened.
So are you saying that they should do this in the play as well?
Well, they don't have to. I'm just saying.
Okay, I hear you. That's what I was just saying about what you can do with the film version of this. So
there you have it, the most well-spoken 10-year-old on the face of the earth.
Well, hopefully she wouldn't whack another kid in the face with a stick.
No.
Or be whacked in the face with a stick. And yeah, cuz I will say I think this is required viewing for any parent. Any parent.
Of children.
Of children. Thank you, Jeff Gundy. Mike Gundy. Yeah. Sorry, Mike Gundy. For those who don't, Mike Gundy is the I'm a Man, I'm 40 coach who ranted. He was a YouTube favorite. I'm getting a blank stare. No, it's okay. But yeah, he once talked about a mother of children. So we like to remind folks that we're, as opposed to antelopes. This is from a mother of antelopes. That's not said.
No.
I want to be a mother of anteaters because they're so cute.
She built a zoo,
too. I don't know.
I don't know where we can fit that in.
I don't
know. Hi, can I get back to the review just briefly? All right, thank you. So, I think it's required viewing because on top of watching four really strong actors, on the way home, I bet you your spouse is going to ask, so, which one am I and which one are you? That's a fun conversation. Mm-hmm. Hi, Kobe.
What's up?
What's up? Well, you're not a parent.
No,
of children,
no, I'm not.
So
I'm not.
I guess, but no, it's an excellent performances, not a date film. Well, I don't know, but things will be discussed, and maybe it'll keep people from having children. I doubt it. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's all right.
That's destroying humans, pretty much. If
why
don't.
By watching this movie?
No, not having children.
Not having children destroys humans.
Destroys the future.
I see. Children are our future.
Yes.
Let them help them lead the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now you're going all Star Warsy.
No. No, that's actually the greatest love of all, but that's okay. It's not as good as Star Wars. We got that too, right? All right. I think it's time to move on. We have lots of DVD and Blu-ray titles, and we have to restore order. I have to make let my child know that, no, their children will be made, and we will have a future.
Good.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Thank you, Wesley. Welcome back to the Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Hanging out with Diane Friedman, author of A Matter of Life and Death. We'll be talking about her book and the movie that goes with that in a little bit. Kids film correspondent on a roll today. Kaiser roll. Emma Soce and Kobe Slagle hanging out. What? You don't like Kaiser rolls either?
No.
You've never had a Kaiser roll.
I've had a Kaiser roll.
I don't know what Kaiser roll is.
Yeah, okay. So you haven't and you don't like them.
No.
What's your favorite roll? Jelly roll. Jelly Roll
Jelly
Morton.
Jelly Roll Morton.
That's right. Great magician. Shut up.
Yep.
All right. Hey, you know what? I got so caught up in Emma's, you know, worry about the future, I forgot to give the response for Carnage. Do you have it?
Say, yeah.
You're not ready,
yes,
are you?
Yes, 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 yes.
There you go.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. And Diane, you had a question. You
I
had
did.
A question
I
about
I wanted to know if it had a ring of parental authenticity in this film.
I think things are said and not said that between the four of them, you might get a point or two that you have either said or done. Not all of them. Hopefully not all of them. But you know, especially like I said, the last 10 minutes when alcohol, the ultimate truth serum, really comes into play. So, yeah. But you should see, because that I think that you may try to say that you're not one of the four parents, but there will be things said in the 79 minutes of carnage you probably have said or you've heard somebody say. So be aware and take care. All right. Big title on DVD this week and Blu-ray this week is a film that's probably going to get a screenplay adaptation nomination, Moneyball, with everyone's favorite general manager, Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill, who's not on Kobe's list. No. And it's directed by the man who gave us Capote, Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it, great baseball gut, and the Oakland Athletics. Not the 70s Athletics, that's a shame, because that's a cool-looking, cool uniforms and three World Series titles. Before your time, Kobe. Here's some audio.
There are rich teams, and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap. And then there's us.
That's a dollar, man.
What?
Welcome to Oakland.
I need more money.
We're not New York. Fine players with the money that we do have.
I like Perez.
Not an ugly girlfriend. Ugly girlfriend means no confidence.
You guys are talking the same old nonsense like we're looking for Fabio. We got to think differently.
Who's Fabio?
Your goal shouldn't be to buy players. Your goal should be to buy wins. And in order to buy wins, you need to buy runs.
Who are you?
I'm Peter Brand.
First job in baseball?
It's my first job anywhere.
We're going to shake things up. Why don't you walk me through the board?
I believe there's a championship team that we could afford because everyone else undervalues them, like an island of misfit toys.
We want you at first base. I've only ever played catcher. It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
He can't throw. But what can he do?
You want me to speak?
We're not pointing you yet.
He gets on base.
We are card counters at the blackjack table. We're going to turn the odds on the casino. I'm heading in. Text me the play-by-play.
Wait, what?
I don't watch the games.
Billy Beane has tried to reinvent a system that's been working for years. And it was a nice theory, just not working out.
How long is Billy Beane going to last?
He's proven himself right out of a job.
In their minds, it's threatening the game. It's threatening the way that they do things.
Hey, Daddy, do you think you'll lose your job?
What? Where'd you hear that?
Well, I go on the internet sometimes.
Don't go on the internet. Watch TV or talk to people. You're discounting what scouts have done for 150 years? What the hell am I doing?
What is happening in Oakland?
It defies everything we know about baseball.
Just plain crazy!
If we win with this team, we'll have changed the game.
This better work. I'm just kidding.
Now, I think you can check out Major League Baseball history and find out if it did work or not. But that's not, well, that's not entirely the point. That is something that, of course, Joe Shearer and Chris Lloyd and others, film critics, not just film critics here in Indiana, we talked about the outcome of it. Yes, it is a film that talks about how baseball has been changed. Now, how many titles do the Oakland A's have to show for it? Well, that's not the point, apparently. It's really about old school versus new school. Not nude school. That's a different movie. And sorry, fans of Brad Pitt, that's not happening. But it is The Social Network for sports stats nerds, people with their saber metrics and their on base percentages and all that. So, but it was an uphill battle for Billy Beane to get past 70-year-old meatball scouts that judge a player based on who he's dating and what kind of swing he has and all the other nonsense. probably the most casual performance by Brad Pitt. There's talks that he might get an Oscar nomination for it. It's possible. It'd be nice if he did. He's very good in it. Jonah Hill, just like watching Seth Rogen in 50-50, that if you give him a project and actually direct and, you know, not be a comedic smart aleck, he can be quite good in this as well, and he is. He's not on your list, but that's besides the point.
Nope.
But no, really solid filmmaking and a really tight script by Steve Zaillian and Aaron Sorkin. So, you know, if you can make stats and numbers and graphs seem exciting, just like in The Social Network, that's worth checking out. So it's out on DVD and Blu-ray. It did really well in the box office, and hopefully will gain much more attention at your local video store if there are any. So check that out.
Yes, 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 yes!
Also on DVD and Blu-ray, The Killer, it's called Killer Elite. There's no the, because I'm an old person. I add the to everything. The Pearl Jam. The Batman.
Do you also go to Myers and the Kroger's?
Oh, jeez. Did they say that around here?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
S's on the ends of things that don't have S's.
The Orlando Magics. But it's Killer Elite, and it's not a remake of the Sam Peckinpah film. I thought it was. Sam Peckinpah film, sort of James Caan, Robert Duvall, we're checking out. Very silly fun. No, this is Jason Statham, Clive Owen and his mustache, and Robert De Niro and his shaggy beard. De Niro is held hostage. He's the his protege is Jason Statham. Statham has to do three assassinations in order to get his old buddy back. And Clive Owen is there to try to stop him. Good luck trying to stop Jason. Didn't you see Crank? So check this out.
You and I got a lot in common.
Really? You're sitting there tied to a chair, and I'm standing here with a gun in my hand.
War isn't over till both sides say it is.
I knew I'd find it.
Did you hear this number?
You have no idea who you're messing with. He's like a father to you, right?
You don't do this as a dead man.
Listen, Danny's gonna come back for me. And when he does, you're out of here. He's your worst nightmare.
All we gotta do is wait for him to come to us.
This guy is good.
You have no idea.
Stayed away.
The gloves are off.
This ends today.
And the Scorpions get a royalty check.
Yep.
That's always good. Gotta enjoy your German rock.
Mm.
I saw them in concert way back when.
Because it was the 80s and you were a teenager?
Actually, yes. I was a teenager. It was the 80s. It was the Monsters of Rock tour in 1988. You're welcome. I'll move on. Couple things that this trailer doesn't give. I have to give credit actually to the trailer, because most of the time the trailer gives away way too much, and this one deceives you a little bit. For instance, this film is set in the early 80s. There, ladies, that's the reason why Clive Owen has a mustache. My buddy Laura, who loves Clive Owens in all sorts of different ways, was really disappointed to see the caterpillar over his lip. Well, now we know why. It's 1980. So you don't get that, even though there's music from the Scorpions, everyone's favorite German 80s rock band, even though they were around in the 70s. And as we all know, Kobe,
it was a different time.
70s were a different time. Jerk. So anyway, and it is more than just a rescue revenge film. It is covert operations and cloak and dagger. Those who are fans of Crank and Crank 2, and there wasn't a third Crank, but it felt like that there was. But if you want to see wall-to-wall Jason whooping butt, You're not getting that in this one. You're not getting it enough. Not enough. I would love to see a film with Owen and Jason and De Niro. A costume drama. I don't know. They could do Gods of Carnage. I don't know. Well, except there's only two men in it. But something else. It would be interesting to see them work on something other than this. I don't know if it'll ever happen. That's okay. But there is some shooting. There is some action, folks, because that's really what you want to see from Jason. Not as much as one had anticipated. But it tried to be different. It's just not as exciting as, and it's not over-the-top ridiculous. It's not the Expendables, even though there's the Scorpions with an orchestra behind them. So is it worth a rental? Hit the audio.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
Okay, also out this week. Wow, straight to DVD and Blu-ray, Scorpion King 3. Yeah, Kimbo Slice is in it.
Nuh-uh.
Yuh-huh.
Wow.
Because it's straight to DVD, and he's not the star. No, this one has Billy Zane and Ron Perlman. That makes it sound like more straight to DVD and Blu-ray. We also have What's Your Number with Anna Faris and Chris Klein. Higher Ground, that was starring and directed by Vera Farmiga. And, man, there are a slew of Blu-rays out. Apparently Warner Brothers, Fox, and Universal just opened up their the vault and put out a bunch of their older titles on Blu-ray. So I will ask the question, panel, because this is out, would you buy this on Blu-ray? Well, I haven't given you the title yet, Diane. That's how it works. So here we go. For instance, Billy Elliot. Emma, you shrug your shoulder. That's the boy who wants the dance movie, the boy who does the ballet. We watched it.
Okay.
That memorable. All right, moving on. It's now a musical on Broadway. But, okay, I'm going to get through this quickly. Fox has six titles out on Blu-ray, all of them romantic comedies. Most of the ones I've seen, really bad, really bad. So, now, the one I didn't see was John Tucker Must Die because they didn't screen that for the press.
Well, this movie has to be so good that I have to buy a new piece of equipment. So
exactly.
This is
see,
a very high.
She does not own a Blu-ray player, so this really comes in. Okay, Shallow Hal. Ooh.
Really?
No, that's bad. Never Been Kissed. Drew Barrymore goes back to high school. It's all right. Fever Pitch.
I've got it on DVD.
Why? Why do you have that on DVD?
Because I like it.
Why do you like it?
It's charming.
Charming, and it's also written by people who know nothing about Boston Red Sox baseball.
That's true.
And the fact that they showed up for the World Series with a camera crew, That's exploitative. So what, Emma?
She raises her hand.
She did raise her hand. What? Trying to do a show here.
When you were talking about Boston Red Sox, that just reminded me of John.
Your teacher.
Yes.
Cool story, bro. All right. Just Married. With a guy on your list, Ashton Kutcher and
yep.
Brittany Murphy, who's no longer with us. Terrible. And Just My Luck, Lindsay Lohan, before she became 80 pounds. So, bad. Those are all on Fox Blu-ray. You can keep them. Warner Brothers, let's see, we have All the President's Men. Excellent film. Definitely worth watching. A generation of journalism students popped up because of this film. Maybe just me as well. Not me, including me. The Green Mile, if you want your magical form of Michael Clark Duncan. There's that. North by Northwest, a Hitchcock film that's not freaky, Mr.
No.
Slagle. So excellent stuff there. Eva Marie Saint, oof. Cool Hand Luke, fine prison film. Might make you watch that. Paul Newman, Oscar for George Kennedy. Strother Martin, Eats 50 Eggs in 1 Hour.
No, not saying it.
That's awesome, honey. 50 eggs in 1 hour?
Yeah.
That's painful.
Why would it be painful?
You ever had 50 of anything in an hour?
Maybe.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
What?
Jelly beans.
Shut up.
I
don't encourage her.
I think I could have probably had 50 cells inside of a food in 1 hour.
Moving on. Treasure of the Sierra Madre, excellent film. Must show it to the child and must show it to Kobe. fine drama about greed with Humphrey Bogart and Walter Huston. And yes, a film that's more relevant now than it was in 1976, now on Blu-ray, Network.
Awesome.
Awesome film. Mad as hell. Not going to take it anymore. Okay, Universal Studios is celebrating its 100th anniversary because they've put out, it feels like, 100 films. Here we go. American Graffiti, must watch. Fun Valentine's of the 50s. Yeah. Although this film also, I think, was the inspiration and the spawn for Happy Days, so take it for what it's worth. Field of Dreams, everyone's favorite Iowa film. Yes. Can you think of another one?
Nope.
There you go. Breakfast Club, overrated high school drama. Yes. No, you neither. Don't tell Melissa, because she'll get mad if you say bad things about John Hughes. She's not. Well, she could be listening, but she's not. Watch this. I'm looking over. Melissa's, of course, in our HD1 studio, the producer emeritus. Okay, I want to watch this. John Hughes is overrated. See no reaction, no. So she's not listening.
She's not listening.
Okay, Babe, Talking Pig movie. Definitely worth having. Enjoyed that. We have it, honey. You just haven't watched it.
Okay.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I was 12 when that film came out. Still funny. Still pretty good. Hello, Phoebe Cates. Seabiscuit. Yes. Horse movie. That's not War Horse. Or Secretariat. Or Equus. Brokeback Mountain. One of my favorite romance dramas of the aughts. Yes.
Of the aughts.
Of the aughts. You do say the aughts. 8 Mile. That's right. Detroit rappers, Purple Rain. An all trailer mom should look like Kim Basinger. Waterworld, also known as the Road Warrior on not on dry land. A Beautiful Mind, that's Ron Howard and directing Russell Crowe going insane. Apollo 13, Failure's Not an Option. Do the Right Thing, one of the best race relations films of the late 80s and still holds up, but Driving Miss Daisy won Best Picture that year. The 40-Year-Old Virgin. No?
Wasn't crazy about it.
Okay.
No.
But it's geared toward you. You're of the Apatow target audience.
No.
Didn't like the waxing scene. And as usual with Apatow films, about 20 minutes too long.
Yeah.
Probably. So Ray Charles.
Yes.
Jamie Foxx, quite good in that. Inglourious Basterds.
Awesome.
I liked it. Not as much as you, but Christoph Waltz is amazing in that.
Yes,
and got an Oscar, and now Emma's watching him in The Green Hornet. Thank you. All three Bourne films have Dramamine when you watch those. And finally, because you have to have it apparently, on Blu-ray, Mamma Mia.
Oh, no
is correct. So let's take a break. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
This is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now to Film Sociology at the WFYI Indianapolis.
Never gets boring.
Nope.
Never gets old. This is, then there's the show. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Yes, and the podcast and all that stuff. So, Diane Friedman is here hanging out with me. Thank you for hanging out.
This is a lot of fun.
Hope we're entertaining, at least maybe in finger quotes. But she's the author of the book, A Matter of Life and Death, The Brain Revealed by the Mind of Michael Powell. So, and there's a film that's involving this, obviously, next weekend at the IMA. Tell us a little bit about the book, and then we'll talk about the event at the IMA.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw the film, A Matter of Life and Death, on television one afternoon about 20 years ago, and I thought it was a fabulous movie. It's very, very enjoyable.
It's David Niven, Kim Hunter.
Right, Raymond Massey.
Raymond Massey.
And but then, because I'm a nurse and I specialize in neurology, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, there's all this neurology in there. And as the movie progresses, you're having this experience where half of your brain is really just enjoying the romance and the drama and the magic of it. And then the other part is going, wait a minute, that person, they just showed the person's neurological deficit through the lens of the camera.
Now remind folks quickly, what is the film about?
Okay. The movie is about a pilot of a Lancaster bomber, and he's going to be he's flying one of the last missions in 1945, and unfortunately his plane has been all shot up, and everybody has jumped out. He told everybody to jump out, except he didn't jump out because his parachute was shot up, so he's going to die. And so he decides to contact somebody on the radio to tell them, I'm going to die now, and would you send my mom a telegram, tell her that I love her? And he happens to get an American woman who is working for the military, and they talk to each other, and they fall in love over the radio in David Niven's last few minutes.
Boy, if life were only that easy.
That's right, that's right. And so David Niven
I'm sorry, insert name of person you want to talk to on the radio here.
That's right.
Sorry,
that's right,
go on.
That's right. Well, in any case, it's very dramatic. And then David Niven jumps out of the plane expecting to die. And then the film switches over to heaven where they're waiting for David Niven to show up in the air crew section, except he doesn't show up.
There's heaven has an air crew section?
They do.
Boy, I hope they have an on-air section.
Yeah. Well, who knows? But in any case, so it turns out that David Niven got lost, or his angel, his escort angel, Conductor 71 got lost in the fog. And so David Niven doesn't die. As a matter of fact, he looks pretty fine when he washes up on shore.
Well, that's not the first time somebody has looked fabulous at death's door. Yep. See, terms of endearment and love story, but go on.
Right. Well, and then, to make it even better, the girl that he fell in love with on the radio, she just happens to be riding her bike along the sands on the beach, and they recognize each other's voices, and they fall in each other's arms and have a wonderful kiss. And it's very romantic.
That's exactly how it goes.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So as you're saying, you're seeing the neurological aspects of this film. Besides, so, and this is what, the 40s?
No, 1946.
1946. So, you would not think that a film from the 40s would have such an impact as far as something like a person's neurological aspect. So,
that's right.
So what happened next after you? So you watched the movie, then what?
Well, then what? Well, I wrote actually a paper, a neurology paper, about this person's deficit, and because all the details are in the movie, they're all in there. Plus, when I did some reading, I realized that film scholars didn't recognize these particular details. They thought they were poetic or strange, or they just thought they were mistakes.
And this was, the era of shell shock, where, there was these kind of blanketed medical terms, and it didn't have to be, 100% accurate. This is back when a loony bin was the name for an institution, a hospital. So,
except it turned out that Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger, who jointly were called the Archers, they felt that making something completely accurate made something even more powerful artistically.
Wow, what a concept.
So they did this on purpose, and then they would erase all their traces so that you didn't know you were watching something very factually based. If someone had thought to ask them, I bet they would have told, but nobody asked. Too bad. Actually, National Public Radio plays a role in this. Because I got a hold.
You're welcome. No, sorry.
Thank you.
Well, I have nothing to do with it.
I got a hold of a copy of Michael Powell's autobiography, and I'm reading it that night, and I find all these things, and I said, I've got to talk to Michael Powell. I get in the car the next morning to go to the hospital to work, turn on National Public Radio. Michael Powell has died at the age of 88 in New York City.
Aye. But you did write the book, and it came out in 2008 on Author House, and there's going to be a screening of this film next week at the IMA.
Right, Friday night, 7 o'clock. And what is very cool about this movie is that teenagers have liked it, including Oliver Sacks as a teenager, and Steven Spielberg, and Francis Ford Coppola, and Martin Scorsese when they were teenagers. But the other thing
Emma, that's Scorsese is the director of Hugo.
Yes, and here's the thing.
Yes, she's excited now.
Here's the thing. At the end of his life, Michael Powell fell in love with and married Martin Scorsese's film editor, Thelma Schoonmaker. And Thelma Schoonmaker is going to be available by Skype next Friday night while we're showing this movie.
And for those who are aware or aren't aware, Thelma Schoonmaker has edited most of Scorsese's films. Thelma Schoonmaker is awesome.
She is.
Amazing. Yes, I have a favorite film editor, and it's her.
And
it's
she's
her.
Really nice, too.
Well, that's really...
And she's really smart
so now
and
I'm,
really perceptive.
So now I'm turning into a teenager. Will you tell her about the show in Indianapolis?
I will definitely tell her.
I want to talk to her. And I thought her editing in Raging Bull was amazing, and she got an Oscar for it. And it was. And I wonder if she's like, yeah, I want to talk to her. She's awesome.
Because
I will be showing you more Scorsese films, Emma. Not all of them. But some of them,
okay.
As time goes on.
Do I have time for one more thing?
Please do.
Okay.
Yes.
So anyway, there is a show, or there is a group of people who are interested in Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger movies called the Powell and Pressburger Appreciation Society. And there's some folks from there who are listening tonight.
Hello.
Somebody from London, somebody I think from Australia, someone from Chicago. And
I'm available for lectures.
Paris. Okay. And this is a badge from The Matter of Life and Death from France. And I want to give this to Emma to make you an honorary member. And I think she would really like I Know Where I'm Going. Girl power to the max.
Okay.
With great love from Roger Lifesey, who is a dreamboat. I would buy a Blu-ray machine for Roger Lifesey because he is cute.
We got that.
Yes.
All right. Excellent.
Pie. So you guys should come. You should come see this movie. It doesn't matter that it has all this medicine in it. It's just wonderful. But now that you know there's other things in there, it makes it triply cool.
Excellent. So we'll go. All right. So a few other notes of going on at the IMA. Tonight at 7 o'clock, Lever to Heaven with Gene Tierney and Cornel Wilde. On the 19th, Real Engine. Of course, Matter of Life and Death on the 20th. Frozen River on the 26th. African Queen on the 27th. And we'll have more stuff that goes on at the IMA as it goes on down the road. Kobe Slagle, do we have time for your thing?
Oh, you want to do that?
Yeah, do we have time? Yeah, let's do it.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
We haven't had this in a while because it's been the holidays and, well, you know, Fair Sweet Bianca's also shoving films down your throat.
Yep.
But you did watch something from something I handed you on the waterfront.
Black and white and everything.
From the 50s.
Yes.
50s were a different time.
They were a different
that
time.
That film is great.
Yeah. Yes. All kinds of awesome. Marlon Brando.
Yep, Carl Malden won an Oscar for that. Rod Steiger, Eva Marie Saint, the visually stunning Eva Marie Saint. I've said that twice in one show.
Yeah, you
that
did.
Happens. And I think it's good because I'm going to get on the stoop and tell you kids to get the hell off my lawn. But the problem is, your age, you know Marlon Brando from old, fat, crazy Marlon Brando, not young, svelte, awesome Marlon Brando. And he won an Oscar for that film. So there, you got to see young, cool Marlon Brando.
Yeah. And old Marlon Brando earlier. Earlier in the,
Right.
Mm-hmm.
For a transcript of today's show. So you still got a couple films, and I still have the Silver Stakes movie.
I've still got Bridge on the River Kwai.
Got to get to Bridge on the River Kwai. William Holden, also a dreamboat in that film for you ladies out there. Okay, we don't have enough time, but I'm going to say next week I'm going to introduce a new segment involving films that you buy online, or the studios will burn you a disc for a few bucks.
They'll do it for like $5.
Yeah, I wish it were $5, but it's a lot more than that. So Diane, thank you for hanging out with
this
me.
This is fun.
Emma, you had a quick question for Kobe. We talked about this on the way in.
Oh, yeah. Kobe, do you like Yellow Submarine?
No, I do not. I don't like anything after Rubber Soul.
Why?
Actually, well, no, I like Sergeant Pepper.
See, you've already just backpedaled already.
Because it's hippie stuff. Here's some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Well, so much for the Kobe-Emma battle. That's not happening. He cut that out quick. Thank you, ladies, for hanging out. Yeah, we'll try again next week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.